Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. It's Monday, December 21st. We're like 4 days away from Christmas. I haven't bought a thing yet, except furniture, and that doesn't really count. So anyway, thanks for dropping in on Drive Through HR today. This is Mike Vandervoort. I'll be hosting the show. I think this is one of just about two or three shows we have left this year. And our guest today is a kind of in-state neighbor here in Georgia, Mike Hoberman. Welcome to the show, Mike. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks for inviting me. I've enjoyed being here in the past, and was looking forward to today.
Yeah, well, yeah. Welcome back to Drive Through. Since I didn't do that properly, Mike, for the people who will probably listen to this show on a download someday in the future, why don't you tell folks who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into some discussion about the future of Even Resources.
Be happy to do that. I am one of the old dogs in HR, and I've been around this profession for about 35 years. Both as a practitioner and now for a long time as a consultant. And I've worked and have been working mostly on compliance issues that people need to be aware of. I write a human resources blog at Omega HR Solutions. I write five times a week, and I've been doing that for over 9 years now. So lots of information out there. And one of the things, and then I consult with primarily small companies on their human resources issues. And one of the things I started doing, you know, 3 or 4 years ago is I got tired of hearing HR people say, well, you know, we always have to be reactive. We can't ever be proactive. Nobody ever tells us anything. We don't know what to pay attention to. And so I started writing in my blog one of the posts called Future Friday. And it was my attempt to make people aware of the issues that they're going to have to be paying attention to in 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, because if you're going to do that, you've got to be working on those issues today in order to be prepared for them. You know, we keep reading, and we'll get into this in a little bit, but we keep reading about the year 2020, and, you know, that's just a mere 4 years away. And if you're going to have to be prepared to work on something in 2020, you need to be working on it today. So that's what I've been trying to do. I still pay attention to all the compliance issues. I still pay attention to what's happening with the Fair Labor Standards Act and all those issues, so I can help people on the day-to-day stuff. But I'm trying to help prepare HR departments to be prepared to deal with a new way of work.
Yeah, and it's 2020, right? You know, the 2020 vision play and all that. So bloggers, I'm sure, love that kind of stuff. Star Wars. If I read one more Star Wars leadership blog post, I'm going to have to go see the. Actually, I plan on seeing it a second time next week. But we do sometimes overkill things. But I think. So I think that your point, though, is one that's very important for HR, in that there, you know, there's a, and I, you know, my niche, as you know, Mike, is kind of the world of employee and labor relations, and it's fairly narrow and fairly esoteric, and there's a lot of stuff that's been happening, you know, from a National Labor Relations Board standpoint over the last year, and it's really easy for a practitioner and sometimes even a company to get really focused on what's going on right now with, you know, what's going on with the board, or what's going on with ACA, or what's going, and you do sometimes lose sight of that downstream view. You had a pretty cool opportunity here, and you and I spoke about it on the phone a few weeks back. You were invited, and correct me if I misstate anything here. You were invited to, I guess it was a conference or a day-long event of a sort that was run by IBM Insights, and I think that's the hashtag they use. to attend and to look at the future of work and the new type of work that's developing, right?
Yeah, very much so. It was actually a 3-day conference, and it was really incredibly cool. And IBM talked a lot about Watson, their supercomputer, and what it's doing and how it's cranking data and how various companies are using that. And actually, one of the hashtags was a new way to work or a better way to work. And some of the stuff that we're going to be able to do with what they call cognitive computing is really going to be very, very interesting for companies. Certainly, you know, we've all heard about predictive analytics, and Watson helps with that. Watson is able to take a lot of numbers and crunch them quicker than anybody would be able to do and assist larger companies with the issues around crunching their data and becoming predictive with that data. From my standpoint, I was invited as one a group of HR futurists, and we actually took a half day off from the conference and went and sat around ourselves and talked about various ways of the way the world of work is going to change. Jennifer McClure was involved with that. Joanne Corley was involved with that. Janine Truitt was involved with that, and then a couple of people from IBM. And we had other experts that were there talking about the world of mobile and then marketing as well. So we were all taking a look at what we think is going to happen with the changing way of the world of work, how automation is going to affect that, how the changing generation of new employees we are going to have coming in, how they're going to affect that world of work. And it was very, very interesting. And if anybody's interested in taking a look at that, you can go out to Twitter and just do the hashtag new way to work, and you can get some of the substance of the conversation that went on with that.
So we'll come back around to that a little bit,
sure.
In a few minutes. So you made this. You kind of explained what got you thinking about trying to establish yourself as someone who was writing as an HR futurist.
Right.
I often find that term futurist, odd because I don't always know what it means. But I think it mostly describes people that look at trends, try to predict the outcome years ahead of what's happening. Some are very good. Some are, kind of well known. Others, like you, are kind of walking the path a little bit, starting out a little bit more.
Right.
What got you, beyond just feeling like HR was, maybe HR people were being a little short-sighted and you wanted to offer up help, what were the roots, Mike? Have you always done that? Have you always tried to look forward? Or was there, was this a new path for you? I guess I'm curious about the story behind this.
There is an underpinning to that that goes back to my fascination with science fiction and paying attention to what was going on in the future. Goes back to Isaac Asimov's, I, Robot and Foundation Trilogy. I was fascinated when I read those. And, it's not like I'm a huge science fiction fan, but H.G. Wells and Jules Verne, where they were always talking about what was going to be happening in the future. So I've always had that interest. And then you combine that with the frustration in your own job of never really having an opportunity to be proactive, just number one, because HR is so busy, number two, because there's just a lack of information on what people could do. Now, today, we're getting a lot more information. We're getting a lot more prognosticators of what's happening in the future. We have a lot more people paying attention to trends. And I want to correct you a little bit, or help you define your to me, an HR futurist is not so much putting the Swami hat on and predicting what's going to happen in the future. I'm not trying to be a Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really necessarily make predictions. What I am trying to do is explain to HR people that there is a methodology that they can adapt or adopt and that will help them pay attention to those trends, whether it's a fad, whether it's a trend, whether it's a mega trend, and see where that's going and get that kind of information to allow them to develop scenarios for their own business and their own situation. Not necessarily saying one's going to happen versus another one is not, but be prepared for a couple different ways things may go that's going to help you with your planning so that suddenly when something changes, when that trend kicks in and becomes a mega trend, you're not caught with your pants down. You have some idea of what you need to do, where you may need to go, and things you need to be paying attention to. And I'll give and I use this example in a seminar or a webinar that or talk that I have given several times, and that is if you are hiring high school students for your business from your local area, are you paying attention to what graduation rates are? Do you have, are you really, and I would say a lot of HR people don't do that. They don't pay attention to what's happening in the educational system. They bitch and moan about the quality of students that they're getting out of it, but they don't necessarily pay attention to what are the projections for that educational system in 3 or 4 years down the road. Because if they're anticipating they're going to have fewer graduates, then you're going to have fewer candidates for your jobs. And so where are you going to go to replace those? It's just, it can be simple things like that of just anticipating 3 or 4 years down the road what your supply of labor was going to be. If kids are graduating, but they're now moving away and they're going to college and they're not coming back, what's happening to your labor pool? Where are you going to have to go to find the people you need for your business if those graduates aren't coming back? So it's to me, it breaks down to a simple understanding of some things that you can do that will make you a much more proactive human resources person. So, you know, I'm not trying to make you this prognosticator of the future so that you can say what's going to happen in the year 2030. You know, that it makes for interesting reading. But for most of us in our jobs, we certainly need to be aware of what's happening 5 years down the road, even potentially 10 years down the road, and understand differences in generations, differences in technology, differences in automation, what kind of jobs are going to be replaced, what are the things that you need to be doing today to make sure that your employees are going to be able to keep their jobs? You know, how do you need to change what they do to prevent replacing them with automation? So that's to me, that's what an HR futurist is. That's the kind of HR futurist I'm trying to be. I'm not a Ray Kurzweil where I'm, you know, talking about what's going to happen in the year 2050. I'm talking to HR people about what's going to happen in the year 2020 and what do you need to be doing today to be ready for it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how long ago this book was written, but Alvin Toffler, who wrote the book Future Shock, you remember that book?
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah. Got to sit here in my library.
I mean, that was, futurists are not new I'm just always interested in the backstory, you know, how you decided. I've seen a guy I've seen him present a couple times who is in his own bio I think is described as a renowned futurist, you know, and it's kind of. But his name is David Howell, Houle, and he wrote a book. That's his website. You know, he predicted, you know, a couple years ago. In fact, I was just reading this article. He predicted a couple years ago that 2012. It was more than a couple years ago. He predicted about 5 years ago that 2012 or 2013 would be the pinnacle of Black Friday sales, and at least at this point. He's proven, you know, even though they keep promoting them more and more, sales are dropping off because of the internet, right? And virtual shopping and Cyber Monday and all the competition and the rebound of issues about making people work and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
So I mean, I guess what I'm hearing you say is you're trying to help people see a little bit further down the road. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about 2020 and then we'll swing back. To the IBM Insights for a little bit maybe at the end. So like right now, Mike, tons of stuff happening in the world in terms of the election, new policies. We are uncertain who the leadership will be, whether it's going to be Donald Trump or Hillary or someone else. And each of those people seems to bring their own sort of, you know, potential terror to the business community, depending on what you're. So I'm not asking you to predict the election, but given that sort of like that's the event horizon that the media is focused on now, if it's not, you know, what happened Saturday night or whatever, what do you see as some of the key things that are coming in 2020?
In 2020, what we as HR people are really going to have to be paying attention to is, you know, in the past 5 years, we paid attention to the millennials. Well, the millennials are in the workplace now. What we need to be paying attention to is the next generation that's going to be coming into. Some people call it Gen Z. One guy, Frank Majid, labeled them the plurals. And the big thing about that particular generation is two things. One is it's going to be a much more diverse generation even than the millennials are. It's going to be a much bigger mix of races and backgrounds and that kind of thing. So HR people are going to have to be much more prepared to deal with a wider range of diversity. Now, you combine that with the connectedness that generation has and the global nature of that particular generation and the way technology is changing, we as companies can now draw our employees from a broader pool of people, not just necessarily your local geography. You can be connected to that generation throughout the world. So the connectedness, the broader definition of that generation, and then the increased diversity are all going to be challenges that HR professionals are going to have to deal with. You know, if you're drawing labor from Indonesia or India, and using it on a consistent basis, how are you going to be prepared to deal with that? And I'm not just talking big companies that do that, small companies that do that now. I have – my wife works for a company that uses Salesforce.com, and they got a project going on. And the consulting company that they're using is almost all Indians. And some of them are here in the U.S., and some of them are in India, and they have consistent conference calls. And so – there they all speak a common language of geek, but from an HR standpoint, if you had an HR person involved with that, how do you deal with that diversity, that differing, point of views that generation is going to have? So that's going to be one of the big challenges for HR people. I think one of the other things we're going to see in 2020 is a very different definition or very changing definition of, what is work. What is an employee? We're already starting to see that with Uber and Lyft and other companies that are using the gig worker. Right now we've got a government that is protesting that and suing those companies on behalf of those workers and calling them employees. But, you know, the predictions are that, by 2020, 2025, 42% of our workforce is going to be independent contractors, and how are we going to deal with that challenge? How are we going to create things that give them the work, give them the income, give them the security, but not necessarily violate the definitions that the government has for employees? So, just the changing nature of the physical space of work. I was reading something just a couple weeks ago about the fact that there's a company in, I think it was Denmark, that has an office space that can hold 2,000 employees. But they have companies that rent that office space that have something like 5,000 employees. And so what they're doing is it's called hoteling. And an employee can come in or the company can come in and rent space, but nobody has permanent offices. People work out of their homes, and then when they need an office space, they come in and they use that office space. And you get profiles, and you get you can make an appointment, and based upon your profile, the office space knows what they need to set up. So that hoteling kind of concept. Well, that's you know, that's from a space management standpoint, it's one thing, but from an HR standpoint, it's another thing. How do you manage that group of employees who come and go, work sometimes out of their home, come and work in a temporary space? How do you create meetings? How do you do all of that kind of stuff? And then, you know, with the example that we get of Zappos, where they're experimenting with holacracy, where they're getting rid of leadership and management levels. I mean, that's going to be a whole new world of work that companies are going to have to adjust to. So and with that, I think we're going to start to see, as, you know, my generation, baby boom generation, starts to retire, you have a smaller Gen X generation, we're going to end up starting to see leadership shortages in companies. And as companies have surveyed the millennials, what they're finding is, in many cases, many of them don't want to step up into that leadership position for a variety of reasons. But whatever those reasons are, that's going to leave companies with a dearth of leadership if they're not being proactive and they're not growing those leaders internally. So, you know, a number of things. And the last thing I'll say that I think is going to be one of the major challenges for HR, even by 2020, is the changing definition of what engagement is. Right now, we take a look at engagement from a company standpoint. What can we get those employees to do that's going to be beneficial to the employees? And with these coming generation, in many cases, what's important to them is the ability for them to achieve their goals and their dreams. That's how they're going to be engaged with the workplace, is if the company is providing them the opportunity to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And one of the most recent surveys that I read showed that only 29% of current employees feel that they can get that out of their workplace. So even though people may be happy and they may be productive, they're not getting what they want out of work. And is that going to lead to a wholesale change in staff, and how are we going to do that? So those are the challenges that I see, some of the prime HR challenges that I see coming for the year 2020.
So, and it's a bucket list of them, right? I mean, there's So we'll drop down back a little bit more to our mutual roots, you know, the compliance and. So like the gig economy, right? Last week in Seattle passed an ordinance. It's weird to see, like, so this is a labor thing. Seattle passed an ordinance saying that people that drive for Uber and Lyft have the right to organize within the city. Of course, Seattle passed the $15 minimum wage. You know, they're kind of being that city entity's being very proactive on stuff traditionally been the province of the federal government, right? And you see, I guess I'm doing, you know, I'm riffing off of your thing. You see the NLRB, you see some of the other government agencies looking at things like joint employer status. There are tons of I wrote a blog post on my organization, Q Inc., the CUEINC.com blog. I wrote a blog post a couple weeks ago, and it's part one, and I haven't finished part two due to time constraints, called Strange Bedfellows in the Gig Economy. And you see technology companies and labor unions and the federal government, and in some cases just, you know, CEOs of companies all lining up together to put out a joint letter under their joint signatures, calling on the government to pass a comprehensive sort of new set of policies to give portability to pension and healthcare and that kind of stuff. People who work in the gig economy, right? The Department of Labor has had some discussions about creating a new FLSA status to govern the rules that cover those types of employees. The point I'm trying to make is, you know, you're talking about stuff that's on the longer event horizon, and yet we're seeing churn, just focusing on that one area for a moment. You're seeing a lot of churn right now at a lot of different levels, and those are all challenges for HR people that they're confronting right now.
Yeah.
Like the future is in our face, but we may not always see it for what it is, right? Because you're trying to deal with some wage issue might be dealer. Something else might be sinking. But in a lot of cases, it's a lot part of these longer-term trends you're pointing out.
Yeah, it is. And you know, just for 2016, things that people, you know, we're going to have changes in the Fair Labor Standards Act that are going to be announced at the end of next year, with a very short window for us to institute them by 2017. We're seeing clampdowns right now on the part of the governments, both state and municipal governments, on the definition of what an independent contractor is. And, you know, they have that, as you well know, there's that memorandum of understanding that the Department of Labor and the IRS have to coordinate with each other on clamping down on misclassification of employees as independent contractors. And the states are signing on to that. Municipalities are signing on to that as well. But then you see, like Seattle, where they're saying the government is not doing enough, so we're going to do some too. You know, they included not only the Uber drivers and Lyft drivers, they also included independent taxi drivers, too, into that opportunity for them to be able to organize. I just did a blog post that was published today, I think, that was that talked about there is an organization out there that is trying to become an independent or an association of independent contractors. And I said that may be actually the way to go. So companies don't violate the rules of independent contractors by offering them benefits and by offering them pensions, that, you know, they could have a membership much like the Chamber of Commerce or, you know, AARP, where by being a member they get benefits, and then companies can protect themselves by hiring only independent contractors who are part of this association. So there are lots of different things that are they're running around out there. You earlier, Mike, mentioned the election. I think one of the things that's going to come out of all the attention that all the debates and stuff we're going to get is, I think what we're going to see next year in 2016, an increased awareness of discrimination on basis of religion. And you know, we're already starting to see a little bit more activity with that. And so I think that's something that just for next year, companies need to be a little bit more sensitive to. So it's a wild and woolly world being in HR. People, you know, I always laugh when I go out and talk to my small clients and they hire somebody that has no experience, because they figure HR is easy. You can just hire anybody and have them do it. And it's not.
tons of different applications of work and knowledge and competency. And, you know, I know that the group we talk to all the time knows that because we live that world. But yeah, it's complex as hell. And, you know, you're right. There's tons of other organizations that are trying to kind of co-opt the new world of work. And, you know, employers are trying to shift their strategies. Labor unions are, you know, morphing. We see these, you know, the Fight for 15 movement and many other things. And these are all responses to this, to these large, you know, drivers of change that we have to kind of chase our tails as practitioners of whatever persuasion in the world of work to keep up with. And it's tough. So Mike, we got about, 2 minutes. Sorry. I wanted to, so tell us, 90 seconds. Tell us real quickly, IBM Insights, you tell us those hashtags and then tell people where they can find you at your blog again so that we can wrap up here and know where to go look for your work.
Sure. The hashtags for the IBM were hashtag new way to work, or hashtag better way to work, or hashtag IBM Insight. If you go on Twitter and search on those, you will get a lot of conversation on those. My blog is at omegahrsolutions.com. It is it's my HR observations, but when you go to my website, it's the front page there. And I, like I said, I publish 5 times a week, and you know, so I have a wealth of material that people can go and search back through on a variety of subjects. But in particular, if you're interested in the future of stuff, all you have to do is in our search box, just search on Future Friday. And that will bring up all of those posts.
And so, on Twitter, you're at Mike Haberman, HABERMAN, correct? Mike Haberman?
There, and also the HR compliance guy.
Okay. And it, affectionately known to each other as the other Mike, you and I.
That's
listen,
right. there's a backstory we'll have to tell everybody on that sometime. So.
Thanks for being on Drive Through, and have Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that kind of stuff. I'm going to roll some music and get us out of here, Mike. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike. You too.